Some things are for a while. Most things are for a while, but my Jesus, is forever. Always has been, always will be, always will be. How many of you have your Bibles today? If you have a Bible, show me. All right. Got some Bibles out there. How many of you read that thing? How many of you believe that what's in there is true? How many of you know that some of the things that we find in here, especially in like in the Old Testament, some of that stuff was God breathed, God said a long, long time ago. How many of y'all know that? How many of you in the room think that all that stuff that God said long, long time ago no longer applies to us because we're different now? Good. I'm glad nobody thinks that, because and if you do, here's the truth. God's word is eternal. Matter of fact, he says it is. We are like grass and we wither and fade away, and kings and kingdoms, like we just sang about, will all pass away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, forever, forever. Yeah, clap for that. That's great stuff. It's great because I didn't make it up. It's what's written in the word of God. All right. How many of you are nervous? Nobody's nervous? I'm a little nervous. The elephant in the room. How many of you know what they mean when they say there's the elephant in the room? Somebody tell me what the elephant in the room. What's that mean, that phrase? Topic nobody wants to talk about, okay? Are there topics in Christian life that we just seem to never talk about? Yeah? Well, hopefully after about a month or so, however long it takes us to get through the topics that you supplied to me, we won't be able to say that about this church. I believe that the Bible is true from beginning, all the way from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the very last amen of Revelation. I believe it's the truth. I believe there's that we as mankind have absolutely no authority, no privilege, no right to change the Word of God. It is what it is because He said it, and He said it with power, folks. All of it. All of it. All of it. So we're going to look at some of the things that are kind of tucked away in there sometimes that a lot of people just kind of gloss over. We are heavy on certain things. We really like the part about salvation. Yeah, we'll preach on that all day long, and we believe that. We quote those because those are our favorite verses. Salvation, yes, and strength, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I love those things. I love those things. And then sometimes we just don't really, you know, have to committed to memory those other verses. You know what I'm talking about? Those other verses that, well, wait a minute, I don't like that one as well. I'm not going to memorize that one. I'm just going to tuck that one away. I know it's there. I know it's there. I'm not going to say it's not valid. I'm just, you know, we're not going to go that far. I'm just not going to use it. The elephant in the room. The elephant in the room. Today's elephant is homosexuality. The Bible speaks on that. It's often glossed over. It's often not preached because it's offensive. Okay? The Word of God is offensive. How many of you know that? How many of you know that in order to come to Christ, we have to be offended? Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13 says this. If a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. Okay? This is a word from God that tells me He's serious about this topic. King James uses a word called abomination. An abomination. When I think of an abomination, sometimes we think of six-legged dogs, right? Two-headed calves, those things. And so I got to think about abomination. What is abomination? You know, and the truth is that an abomination is something that causes disgust or hatred. Hatred. So I got to thinking about, God hates something? Did you know that God does hate some things? So I kind of decided to find out, well, what exactly is it that God hates? And I located this verse in Psalms 45, verse 6. And it says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." We just sang about that. "A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Therefore, God's righteousness is forever." Verse 7 says this, "You love righteousness." The next verse. That's probably my mistake, because I don't think I gave him the next verse. Nope. Psalm 45, verse 7, brother. I'm sorry. That's on me. That's all on me. "You love righteousness and you hate wickedness." God hates wickedness. It says it right there. What is wickedness? Well, there's a long list of wickedness, right? Wickedness is simply this. Wickedness is sin. Any sin. Every sin is wickedness. And how does God feel about those things? He hates those things. Homosexuality has become a very touchy subject. And it's because of this, I believe, that society has taken over the responsibility of writing the rules. They've taken that upon themselves. Have no place in doing it, but they've done it. We've been talking about how the Supreme Court has taken upon itself to rewrite the definition of what marriage is. Folks, God's laws are from everlasting to everlasting. He defined marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman, and no man or woman has the right or the privilege to change what God has said. I believe that. The question for today is, what do we do with this verse that says homosexuality is detestable, or, as the King James says, an abomination? Does God hate this sin more than any other sin? I believe the answer is no. How do you hate more than hate? God hates sin, period. I believe that God hates all sin and there is no degree of punishment for the sin. The punishment for sin is one punishment, and it's all capital punishment. Death. Death is the punishment for all sin. Hate is hate. God hates sin. The word translated as abomination, it's the Hebrew word. It's called and I'm not going to pronounce it right because I didn't take Hebrew, I took Greek. But the Hebrew word for it is toeba. Toeba. That's how the King James translates abomination. But it's the same word translated in other places throughout the Bible as detestable, hated, loathsome. The same thing. Same word. Same Hebrew word. And it often refers to practices that may have been popular in society but restricted for the people of God. Okay, such as idol worship. It's an abomination. It's toeba. Maybe acceptable in society, but for God's people, he says, like, y'all remember the commercial, Dikembe Mutombo? Remember the great big tall basketball player? Maybe you sell this. And people are trying to do stuff, shoot the basketball, and he jumps in, blocks it, and he's, "Not in my house." Y'all remember that commercial? Some of you saw that? That's what God says. If that's going on over here, not in my house. Not in my house. And by his house, he means his people. His people. Not in my house. Not in my house. Such as the practices of idolatry. God says, not in my house. child sacrifice, which was popular in those civilizations around. And God says, not in my house. And we could go off on this and talk about how abortion today is a very sense of that very, very act. Not in my house. You see, if you think you're going to come to church for the next month or 6 weeks, however long it takes, and get a lot of feel-good sermons, God says, for this month, not in my house. We're going to talk about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Something that was often accepted by a group of people, but not intended for the people of God. God says, they may say it's okay, but not for you. Not for you, my people. You who are called by my name, that is not acceptable. Not for you. Not that it's okay for them, but for you, no way. One of the most common lines of reasoning I hear for the justification of same-sex relationship is this. That's just the way I am. I was born that way. I can't change who I am. I just have a natural propensity to like people of the same sex. I found an article written by a man named Mike Slick. He's part of this group called the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. And the title of his article is this, Do Practicing Homosexuals Who Are, Quote, Saved Go to Heaven After They Die? I'm just going to read to you what he wrote here. And he said, this is a difficult question because there seems to be an inherent contradiction within it. Those who are truly saved are also regenerated. They are new creations and the old things have passed away, according to 2 Corinthians verse 17 of chapter 5. And also, 1 John 2:4 says, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So if someone really is born again, there will be a change within him and he will resist sin. Homosexuality is a sin. That's black and white, that's clear. So we must ask, I'm just continuing through the article, so we must ask how someone who's truly saved can also purposely be in rebellion against God. This would not make sense. If someone was a practicing homosexual and did not consider it to be a sin and would not receive correction from the Word of God, then it's most probable that that person is not truly saved. Salvation results in a change in the person, and although we may still war with the same old sins, the fact is that we are at war with them, not waving the white flag. Our fight against such sin is one of the signs of new life. If there is no fight against sins, then it's a sign that someone is not really saved at all. That's according to Mike Slick. I tend to agree with the majority of what he says here. Sin, a lifestyle of sin. Homosexuality, I believe, from God's Word, says is a lifestyle of sin. Any sin, though, it talks about. If that's true, this line of thinking that I can't change who I am, it's just the way I was born, it's the way I am, I just have a natural propensity for that. If that's true, then what if I told you I was born with a natural propensity to take things that don't belong to me? I just have a natural feeling, I just can't hardly resist this feeling within me to take something that belongs to you that I don't want to work for or buy. I just want to take it. And you just have to accept that because that's just the way I am. Okay? How many of you buy that? No? Okay. Or how about this? I just have a hot temper. This is the way I am. I was born that way. I just have a natural propensity to get really angry. And very quickly, have a short fuse, just the way God made me. Just the way I am. Would the judge listen to you when you stood in front of him and said, look, I stole something, but it's just because I was born that way. or if I just get mad and hit you, you just have to understand that that's just the way I am, and you know, just deal with it, just the way I, you know, that just doesn't fly with us, right? We all have urges to do those things which is wrong. Every one of us have a natural, and it's Adam's and Eve's fault. But the truth is, had it not been for Adam and Eve, it might have been for somebody else. And once mankind sinned, we're all in that boat. We all have natural urges to do things which we're not supposed to do. Question is, what do we do with those things? What do we do with those urges? Some of us are better than others at fighting those urges. I fail quite frequently at fighting those urges. I sometimes have told untruths. I have sometimes taken things that don't belong to me. I have sometimes flown off the handle. My wife shakes her head, yes. She'll tell you stories. But what did Jesus say about who we are and our natural tendencies? Okay? If that's the argument, that's the way God made me, that's the way I am, that's just part of me, what is God say about that? Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself. Deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose or forfeit their very self? Or soul. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of them when he comes into the glory, and in the glory of your Father and of the holy angels. You see, if that is even true, I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying if that argument is true, that's just who I am, that's just how God made me. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny that part of you. So for me, what that says to me is, if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have to deny my natural desire to want to get angry and fly off the handle and cuss a string of curse words and hit somebody. And run into them on the road. You see, I could go on and on. Because those are natural things within me. Jesus says you have to deny those things. You have to deny that which you're calling yourself. You have to deny yourself if you're going to be my disciple. Can't do both. And in a world of accommodation now, we say, the society tells us, well, yes, you can do both. You can have your cake and eat it too. The Bible says, no, you cannot. No, you cannot. If I want to be a disciple of Christ, I have to deny myself first. That's just who I am. Needs to become, well, that's just who I was. That's just who I was. But when I came to Christ and through the power of His resurrection and the Holy Spirit now living within me, I am no longer what I once was. I am now a child of God, and I am becoming what He desired for me to be from the very beginning. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference. It's a recognition of my sin is wrong, and if I want to be with Christ, I have to deny that part and follow Jesus Christ. No matter what the sin is, today we're talking to because the topic you turned into me was homosexuality. Is it right? Is it wrong? Clearly, Bible says it's wrong. But here's the deal. It's no more wrong than telling a lie. It's no more wrong than taking something that doesn't belong to you. It's no more wrong than taking your aggression physically out on your spouse or on your children or on your neighbor or even on the guy that really deserves it. It's no more wrong than committing murder. It's all sin, every bit of it. The sin of homosexuality is just that. It's a sin. no worse than lying and no better than murder. It's all sin, and it all separates us from God. All of it separates us from God. Repentance is the only way to God through Jesus Christ. We have to turn from our sin. We have to deny our desires, take up His desires. So whether that sin is homosexuality, whether it's whatever, a whole slew of other listed things in your life, whatever it is, the Bible says, you've got to deny yourself. Turn from that. Doesn't matter if you think it's a natural propensity for you or not, if it's just who you are or not. Who you are, who you think you are, is not who I intended you to be. What one do you want to choose? You see, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can just give in to the natural desires that we have, or we can put those to death. We can allow those to be crucified with Christ. But yet, as Paul says, but yet I live. I've been crucified with Christ. I have allowed all those desires of mine to be put on the cross with Christ, but yet I'm still alive. And it's not me, but it's Christ living within me. And that makes me a new person. Makes me a different person. Makes me a better person. Makes me somebody that God can take and use and grow and do amazing things with. So how do we deal with people with homosexual tendencies? How do we deal with people who are dishonest? How do we deal with people who are unfaithful, selfish? How do we deal with people who are boastful, who are murderers, who are envious? How do we deal with people who have addictions? You know, some people are more susceptible to be addicted to things than other people. Yeah, okay. It's a natural. So do we say, well, that's just the way they are? No, because addictions are bad. Right? Unless you're addicted to Jesus. That's a good one. Get addicted to Jesus. I preached a sermon about that one time. Get addicted to Jesus. How do we deal with those people? How do we deal with ourselves? How do we deal with the ones we love who are selfish, boastful, unfaithful, envious, dishonest? The Bible tells us how to deal with them. The Bible tells us to love them. The Bible tells us to love them. It does not tell us to love their actions, nor does it tell us to condone their actions, because God sure does not. But He loves them. How much does He love them? All the way. So much so that He gave His only Son as a perfect sacrifice, because He loves us. He loves you. He loves the homosexual. He loves the murderer. He loves the ones of us in here who are liars, cheaters, thieves. Right? The ones of us in here who get angry and take our frustrations out on other people. The ones of us who covet our neighbor's wives. The ones of us who put things before God. The ones of us who don't remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God loves us. How much? All the way. All the way. So how are we to love those people? All the way. All the way. He loves them. He tells us to love them too. How do you love someone when you don't agree with their lifestyle? You can't except with the love of Christ. He loved them so much He gave His very life for them. And if you're going to follow Christ, remember that part about denying yourself. Sometimes it's the pride thing that gets in the way. We have to deny even that and say, I love you. I love you. I know you're involved in this activity, whatever it is. Remember the whole sin gamut. Whatever it is, I love you. And I know you struggle with that. I want you to know that I love you, and there is hope and there is help for you. Just like there is hope and help for me. You see, we're all in the same boat, really. We speak the truth in love. We never forget that the truth is seldom heard without love. Paul said that it doesn't matter what else you do. If you don't have love, it's just a loud clanging sound, an undistinguishable sound, and something that is absolutely ineffective. If there's not love, doesn't matter what you do. Love. 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 Faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. If it was easy, anybody could do it. You ever heard that? Sometimes it's very not easy. Very much so, not easy to love. But God didn't say, when it's easy, love them, and when it's not, it's okay. He says, love them, period. Love, love, love them, love them. I don't have my hat with me today, but y'all remember my hat that I wore one time? It had a plank log sticking out of it. Y'all remember that? I meant to grab it, and I forgot it this morning. It's a long plank sticking out that went right into my eye. The passage of Scripture talks about, hey, don't go and talk about the speck in your brother's eye until you've taken the plank out of your own eye. You see, sometimes we think that there's this big box, that my sins are over here in the box that gets looked over and glossed over. Okay? Because I'm a Christian, and my sins now, they're over here, and God really doesn't pay attention to those. But these over here, this box over here, man, if you're doing one of those, woo, shame on you. We need to pull that plank out of our eye and recognize that there's not two boxes. This box is dumped out into this box, and God hates it all. I got to deal with myself first. I got to deal with myself first. Homosexuality is a sin. But people can repent. People can come to Christ and become a new creation. Lying, theft, hatred towards other people, immorality, jealousy, envy, prejudice, and so on and so on and so on are all sins too. And guess what? We can repent. We can come to Christ and we can become a new creation. God does the changing, folks. All we have to do is ask Him to change us. You've heard me say several times, we're all in the same boat. I've been leading up to this. This is my closing statement today. We are all in the same boat. But y'all remember what Peter did? Anybody remember what Peter did? He got out of the boat. You and I, we all can get out of the boat and we can walk on the water towards Jesus if we have our focus and our attention focused on Him. And He says, as He said to Peter that day, come, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Come, come. And He says to you today, come, come. So whatever sin you're dealing with today, whatever it is, remember it's all, we're all in the same boat, but we don't have to stay in the boat. Jesus says, come. So whatever you're dealing with today, come. Come to Jesus. Maybe it's something that's a recurring thing in your life and you battle it and you struggle with it. The good news is that if you're struggling with it, it's because the Holy Spirit is convicting you of it and you know that it's wrong. That means that God is working in you. But you got to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat. Walk on the water. Keep your eyes focused on Christ and come to Jesus. I'm wrapping it up. I'm through. I'm going to stand here in just a moment. My wife, Rebecca, is going to come stand with me. If you're maybe you don't need to be saved today. Maybe you're already saved. Praise God for that. Maybe you just need to have somebody pray with you. If that's true and you want me to pray with you or my wife, Rebecca, to pray with you, that's why we are here. There are other people in the room that would love to pray with you if that's the case. Maybe you just need to come to the altar, kneel down, and you just get right with God yourself. And that's an awesome thing. Nothing special about my prayers. God hears your heart. Maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here today that has never trusted in Jesus Christ. I want to say to you today, you can come. You can come. We prayed this morning before church. We had planned some more baptism. We've been baptizing people right and left here at this church lately. It's awesome. My goal is to wear the baptistry out so we have to buy a new one. There's water in the baptistry this morning. We have shirts, we have shorts. There is no reason for anybody to say, well, I just wasn't prepared. We got everything you need. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've been saved. You've never been baptized. I want you to know that can happen today. Maybe you're here today. You've never done either one of them. Maybe you're here today like we've had some that are saying, you know what, I did all that a long time ago, but it wasn't real. I just doing what I was told to do. I didn't mean anything. And maybe you want to redo that and make it fresh and real because it's something that you chose to do, something where you decided to get out of the boat. If you want to do that today, we won't leave till it gets done. It's available for you today. I just want you to know that. Would you stand for a moment? I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. Bow your heads. I'm going to close this time out with prayer, and then we'll start to sing and we'll have the invitation time. But as you're standing there with your heads bowed and you're thinking about our topic for today, homosexuality, and we can look at that, and sometimes we look at it with disgust or whatever our feelings are about it. And I want you to understand that when God sees some of the things in our lives, He has the same type of look toward it, and it's all hatred toward our sins. Doesn't matter what it is. A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin, and God hates it all. What's the answer? We have to deny that self, of that part about ourselves. Deny it. Take up our cross daily and follow Christ. If you want to do that today, oh, today's your day. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you didn't get wrapped up in us and think, well, they're just too far gone. That you gave your very best to catch us when we are at our very worst. Oh, and Lord, I thank you for that. I'm truly thankful. Thank you that you reached down and you rescued me out of my sins. And that today, tomorrow, last week, next week, when I sin again, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I don't want to do that, but sometimes we find ourselves falling back to our selfishness again. Oh, Lord, strengthen me, strengthen us. Help us to continue to deny that part about ourselves. Take up our cross every single day and follow you. And Lord, if we've not been on that journey yet, help us to begin it today. And that's my prayer in Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. The only name given by which men must be saved. Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Seeing as the Holy Spirit has led you to respond, let me encourage you. Don't put it off. Follow that urge from the Holy Spirit to respond today. This is your time.